That's Shisham and Lotus and Son with Chinkpin on Folk Roots Radio today. They are our special guests.
Hello.
Present.
Hello.
Just a sec, I have to blow my schnoz.
We're at the Folk Music Ontario Conference. They were up on stage for an official showcase tonight, yes, and they killed it. They were absolutely amazing. I've been to an awful lot of showcases, and
nice.
There's always one or two each time that really blow your mind, and I just absolutely love these guys.
Thank you.
The thing that got me, and I realized that I'm going to actually do my review before we actually talk, but was the way that you actually choreographed the whole performance, not just the music, but the actual performance, the way you interact. Absolutely fabulous. I loved it, but I'm going to get you guys to talk about Shisham and Lotus and Son. I'd like to start by getting a little bit of understanding of how you started down this road with this wonderful, wonderful band.
We love dancing, and we love movement, and we love people, and we love finding the joy in life. And this kind of old-timey music, I was into punk rock music, and I think all of us into some pretty hardcore different types of music as teenagers, and really into ska and that kind of thing, where you dance and go ah, and the music would come out. And to me, for me, this is Shisham speaking. Hello, Shisham here. For me, the fiddle tunes and that, when it translates into music to make people move and to help move an intense feeling into a feeling that's better and helps move forward and move through, like the tunes cycle around and they give you time to digest and keep moving forward and that kind of thing. I was brought up as a fiddler as a little kid, and my parents were really into supporting this kind of thing. Lotus was a rambling blues guitar man at the age of six, and Sanderson grew up under the piano in a church. And so
I think you've hit on something really interesting now, because you're talking about the punk rock and the ska and the old time music, the fiddle tunes, and the thing that those things have in common, to which I will attribute its popularity with the hobo punk rockers.
Oh, sure.
And the old time people, there's this commonality, and what you've just outlined is the physicality of the music. Punk rock has physicality, ska has a physicality to it. Old time music has that same physicality that you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Because it's not just la 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 fiddle. It's like,
yeah, it's not just head music. It's not about head.
And it translates to physical movement.
There used to always be the wood stove and the dance floor, or just the pine boards. There is always that. If you play the fiddle, somebody is bound to start moving.
And if you're playing a really hard punk rock guitar, people are banging their heads. In the same way that someone would enjoy a fiddle tune in a physical way. Like, it's manifesting the audience in a physical
thrashing
way.
Thrashing and moshing and all that.
That's great.
It's all in four.
Yeah.
It's all mostly in four, yes.
Yeah.
What fascinates me is the way that you guys interact on stage. It's fascinating to think that, you know, I suppose, oh my God, they had the same upbringing as the rest of us, you know, getting into punk, getting into, as you say, ska, getting into a lot of that wonderful new wave music, which I imagine that you were all probably playing in bands of that type and then gradually progressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I come from Manitoulin Island and moved to the city and thought I should abandon the fiddle and take up the saxophone because it was so urban and cool. So I did that, and then going down that road, I started to understand more. My grandmother was into early jazz, and so I started to understand, you know, what that was sort of about, and then that would introduce me in more deeply into the reggae and ska and that kind of thing, and how those horn lines, to me, playing the fiddle, the horn lines and the ska melodies, especially whether or not they're lyrics, when I was picking up the fiddle again to learn the tunes and to get a nice zuga zuga bowing, I would play it super slow as a blue beat ska style and play do do ba bum bee do da di di do da di di dum da do di do da di da da do do da di di da da. And so the whole thing is so secular, and it's all related.
Secular?
Secular.
Yeah, it refers to the cicada.
So tell me how you guys met, because originally it was Shishim and Lotus, and then you added Sun. Is that how things happened?
That's right. Shishim and Lotus started out as a duo, and our chief concern was to play fiddle tunes, because we just loved fiddle tunes. We both learned fiddle and banjo, respectively. I mean, Shishim had played fiddle from a very young age and then went to sax. And then when we were in our dance and band...
violins.
When we were in our dance band with Flapjack, Shishim was the rhythm section with me, and we both started that band, started Shishim and Lotus out of being in this other band. So it started as chiefly a fiddle and banjo duo, and it grew into something which now includes ragtime and, you know, pre-war blues. And we spent, I guess, the first 6 years or 7 years as a duo, and then we knew Sun Sanderson, and we knew we wanted him in our band, but we couldn't really entice
afford him. We couldn't afford him.
We couldn't entice him to come and play with us until we kind of got our stuff together, and we're still getting our stuff together. But he's been kind enough to join us, and so he's been with us for about 6 years now.
And the thing, the music that we make, Sun doesn't speak because he doesn't get an opportunity.
Yeah.
But if he were to let out, like if we were to give a little break, he would just rip, and we wouldn't then be able to speak.
Yeah.
What we had to do as Shishim and Lotus, because I play the Highland fiddle tunes from Appalachian Highlands and Georgia and places like that, but mainly from up in the mountains. And then I getting more into the raggy tunes that were, but they're still so fiddly. And Lotus is hugely influenced by the blues. And the banjo being one of the original blues instruments, he's playing these tunes. So when he was working by himself in Peterborough, we left the band Flapjack. We were going to stay home. We weren't going to go out and make music with, you know, and be on the road or anything. So then we said, okay, well, I'm just playing in this cafe. Why don't you come by and we'll just have a couple of tunes? And it was so much fun again. And we said, oh, shoot,
start a band.
We love this. So then a cafe, folk club called us from Millbrook and said, would you guys do this show together? So what we're just talking about this today, where we actually had to sit down and come up with a set list that would comfortably bring the fiddly, you know, it's very Scottish, the fiddle traditions from, and Irish, but really Scottish in southeastern Kentucky, that very fiddly tradition to come and meet the blues, the bluesy influence of the Mississippi River, and find that place in between where we could kind of flux between the two, go a little deeper into the valley and then higher up the mountainside, and come up with this set list that was people could understand it, and they wouldn't say, wow, you're just playing this crazy fiddle tune and now you're playing the blues. So we had to sort of figure out how to make, and so through that it's really shaped the type of music that we end up listening to, and, you know, thinking, oh, this I love this tune because it has the feeling of these two groups coming together. And Sanderson here, Sun Sanderson, commented one time a long time ago, he said something once, and it was about world music and how what we call roots music now, and Americana, was actually the original roots music, because people were coming from all over the world. The original world music, yeah. So maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
No, well, you pretty much...
Okay, so anyways, what I was going to say was...
just it keeps occurring to me, especially when you go out into the world and there's this thing called Americana, right? And it's such a misnomer, and what America is, and shamefully what Canada is becoming, becomes more and more and more about this crazy quest for identity and this attachment to nationalism. But anybody who knows American history at all, if you go back even just 100 years, America's not America. America is everybody. America is the world's first wonderful homeland of everyone. And the music of early America is the music of everywhere. Yeah. Yeah. And coincidentally, recording technology hit at the same time. Yeah. And so what you get is the birth of world music. We call it Americana because it makes sense to some people. But it's kind of a shameful cover-up for what actually is the birth of the world's music. And the more you can engender that kind of understanding of Americana music in the world, the more people will demand the right to a vote in an American election. frankly.
Wow.
Wow, yeah, that.
Awesome, man.
Because yeah. America's not America. It's our country, America. And this music like this is what proves it.
This is so not where I thought this interview was going to go. This is very good.
That's it's the cicada thing.
Yeah, it's the cicada thing. Yeah. We started off with Chinkapin. Is that from the
Yes. Well, this is one of the latest records. We have another one coming out, which we could talk about in a moment.
Okay.
But this album we recorded with James Stevens up in Chelsea, Quebec, at Stowe Studios. And it's a collection of high stuff and music that we love to play. And it's a variety of song and fiddle tunes and some slower pieces.
It's also too slow. It's a hallmark. It's a watermark in our recording, in the recording history of Shisham and Lotus and Sun, because we actually recorded that record. I don't know if you look at the picture on the front, you'll see that the sepiaphonic monophone on a stand is beside us. And we have, for years, sung all of our lyrics through that contraption.
For recording
as well as performing. But in fact, after much discussion and a lot of heartbreak, I was convinced by these boys that, no, it's going to sound way better if we just record directly without this hindrance. Like, we love the sound of that thing, and it makes things sound very old-timey. But we actually decided to not record with it. And the results come through quite nicely. We still sound very old-timey, but we're not singing into this horn thing that makes our voices quite tinny. We just make our voices sound tinny in a natural way.
So tell us about the new album that's just about to... When will that land?
The spring. Sometime mid-spring.
It's been released only in Denmark.
Denmark and the United Kingdom. And it's called 78 RPM. We recorded it with Lorna Fulton, who runs a project called Lathe Revival. She has a 1938 Prestone lathe, recording lathe. So you sing into the microphone. There's one microphone for the whole band. You have to position yourselves accordingly. And the needle physically carves your vibration into a lacquered disc. We cut 27 sides. 27? 26?
28 was my final
28?
Yeah.
Okay, so 28. We've done 28, and we're going to release 21 of them in digital format as a CD and other mediums as well. But those to be discovered later. And it was such a crazy project for us to do this, because we listened to all the 20s and 30s, recordings of 20s and 30s, and the sound of those recordings is so... There's nothing like them. And the way... I mean, sonically, the way they make a violin sound, they make it sound like a clarinet trumpet fiddle. Like, it doesn't...
Yeah.
So then... And the way they project their voices is totally different. And I just heard a story yesterday of Al Jolson, when they first came out with fat condenser microphones, or ribbon mic, I guess, and they said, here, this great technology, you can use this and you'll sound fantastic. And he took it and threw it and smashed it on the ground and said, I do not need this. I don't need to be insulted by this. I can sing and you can hear me from a mile away. I don't need this. And it changed everything. And you can hear it in people's recordings now. And they sing and you can sing quietly. And it's, you know, you can talk like this. But you couldn't do that to 1,000 people standing. And these medicine shows and that, like, they would attract 1,000 people in Canada, in Northern Ontario. There'd be 2,000 people at a medicine show. And the guy would be just standing there singing and barking and doing his thing, all without... So the thing with those recordings is that when you listen to them, and what we do is we listen to them almost solely, and then it forms how we present what we do, because you can't do it unless you really do it. And so when we met... We went to England, and we were playing in Newcastle, and the presenter that evening... earlier in the week, phoned our agent, said, there's a woman who would like to know if you'd like to record a 78 RPM disc. And we thought, are you kidding? This is a dream come true. When we hear, like, we love the records that we make in modern studios, but often when we hear them back, you think, there's too much information. This doesn't sound like the music that we love. It sounds like us, but it's not right. There's not... So you know, we tamper with them sometimes and try and make them sound a certain way. Anyway, so we said, okay, of course, this is a dream come true. And if it is really going to happen, it's like winning the lottery, you know, to have somebody come along and say, here, and you can do this, and we'll do it for you for fun. So we didn't believe she was going to show up, and could we really pull it off? She shows up. We have an amazing time. We recorded six times to take one, just to get the bugs worked out. And it turned out amazingly well. It carves physically into the lacquer, and the way we project and the way we sing was just... She was sitting there thinking, holy smokes, we've never had this. Like, nobody... People sing like they're used to singing with microphones. It's quite quiet. And we carved... We literally carved into these discs. So she said, oh my goodness, you have to come back and play for my festival. It happens next July, which is last year. We just did it. While you're there, maybe we could record a couple more sides. So we said, while we're there, maybe we could record a whole album. Woo. And we were thinking we could do maybe 12 over the course of this week. And we came up with 28 recordings, and 21 of them are going to be released digitally. And it was, well, talk about the experience of...
So do they exist on 78 as well? I mean, is there a...
Single copies. We won't mass produce the 78s at this point.
Yeah.
We may eventually, but now those have been digitized to a CD format, so we're going to sell this very conveniently a manufactured compact disc that has all of the sides recorded onto them.
Which, as a point of technological fact, there is no, to our knowledge, method left of reproducing from a 78 master to a 78 album without first making a digital glass master and recording to regular vinyl at 78. In other words, it's all but, I'm not going to say impossible because I'm sure it's possible, but it's all but impossible to actually make 78s thoroughly with the old process. You can make a 78 master, but yes, to go from a 78 master and reproduce, mass produce 78s from
what
that.
What do you suppose Pokey Lafarge did? Because he sells 78s at his... of his music.
But they're not old shellac 78s.
They're like 78s. They're 78s
reproduced from a digitized master.
That's what I don't want us to do.
Well, that's why we're not doing it yet.
I don't want to like take our digital thing and put it onto a 78.
Yeah, the other element that I think is really important with the 78 technology, and to me it's almost half of it. Half of it is just the size, the magnitude, the urgency, the commitment. But another part is to me... is the self-consciousness of the performer. When I hear a lot of, especially the earlier you go, you hear a lot of the 1920 78s. The thing I love about it more than anything else is the psychology of the performer, because I don't hear someone making a commodity. I don't hear someone being self-conscious in the way things become.
Yeah.
And that to me is the most precious thing about 78s. And I like to think... we've all played in lots of bands, and in my experience with this band, one of the assets of this band for me is our capacity to really sit in the music and not be overly self-conscious about what's happening.
That's for sure.
You know, to the point of absurdity. Oftentimes we're on stage and people say, wow, that's a really good shtick, and you're going, that's not good shtick. We're like, you know, we're kind of, it's actually really happening.
You know
happening.
That one you play that's really terrible? It's really terrible? Yeah. And you're like, yes.
Yes.
So, no, which one?
But I think that's what people love about that live show. I want to take a break for some music from the album, and then right. I'd like to come back and talk about that. But I do think what people love about the live show is it's an experience. I mean, it's like going into, you know, I mean, dare I say, it's like, you know, one of these sort of... I was going to use the Disney World thing, but you really feel like you've gone somewhere different when you guys are on
suspending
stage.
Suspending the audience's disbelief.
And the way that you inhabit the characters you are on stage is absolutely
fabulous.
And
the color of It's a Small World, but the thrill of Space Mountain.
Oh, man.
We're going to take a break with another track from the album. What are we going to play?
Blackberry Blossom.
Okay, tell us about that one.
Well, this version of Blackberry Blossom comes from J.P. Fraley, who's a Kentucky fiddler. And we always joke that there is the bluegrass Blackberry Blossom that everybody knows. And this is another Blackberry Blossom, where he's sort of taken the notes from other tunes and sprinkled them in and removed some of the other ones that people know. And what we do is we take those notes and sprinkle them throughout the set so people don't notice them. It's a nice crooked version of the Blackberry Blossom, and it's pretty, and it's haunty and strange. The mode is very unusual. And then it goes into a tune, Wink the Other Eye, I think, don't we? And that's, gee whiz, I don't remember who we learned that from a 78 recording. No, not Ed Haley. Lots of people played it. Clyde Davenport played it. But it's just a sweet little tune that's good for dancing. And I always just picture, it's called Wink the Other Eye. And I always picture singing Wink the Other Eye at you. And you can just picture these two people shuffling around close, and it's the end of the night, and there are hardly any dancers on the floor. And it's, you know, the band is still playing slowly and quietly, but they're getting tired. And it's just a lovely, lovely little tune.
This is the Blackberry Blossom into Wink the Other Eye from Shisham Lotus and Son, from the album High Stepping Music, and you're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall. Thank you. That was Shisham Lotus and Son. You're really making me work for this tonight. That was Shisham Lotus and Son with the Black Pre-Blossom into Wink the Other Eye.
Wink from the Other Eye at You.
From the album High Stepping Music. It's very much one of those albums that challenges broadcasters to actually pay attention to what they're about to read. Tell us about the live show, because that I love. You really bring it to life, as I mentioned before the break. I mean, the show comes to life. I get a sense as a member of the audience that I really start to feel like I know you, because the way that you start to interact as individuals, I mean, it's you've been working together for quite a while, but it seems like that you flow off each other so easily. Can you talk about that?
We're in love.
Yes.
We're young and in love.
We have been playing together for quite a long time.
98.
And, 98. We started. Lotus and I started together, and Sanderson was playing in a band called Silverhearts with Lotus. And so we put in a lot of time together. And I was just thinking while you were talking that we haven't seen each other in a month. We just got back from the UK and had a break from each other. A little bit of withdrawal at first. And But yeah, it's funny because there is a comment that Sanderson made at our very first festival gig together as a trio in Sudbury at Northern Lights Festival Boreal. We did the first set we were going to do. We did the first half as the duo, and then Sanderson was to come and join us, which he did. But he came up and he said, "Geez, fellas, you're not making anything easy. You have that flow of a duo going on, and I'm going to have to try and figure out how to integrate myself into your ebb and flow." And there is this thing, and more than once people have come up on the street and said, "How did you three meet? How is it possible that you've all come together to I mean, this is like impossible to get these three guys to..." Which
another question is, how could you ever have found each other?
Yeah.
Which is a nice way to put it. Like, people who are equally obsessed with the kind of music that we play. And I don't know if it serves us to say this, but with our first couple of records, people used to say, "You guys are so amazing." It's too bad about this record. It doesn't really capture your live show.
Yeah, it's a live show that we love.
Yeah, it's the live show that we love. So I think we've tried to translate that to disc
and it's
more.
It's getting better. But I was going to say, the thing that also has sort of informed and where we really worked not the hardest, but the most in the beginning was on the street. Like, we would busk all the time, and we played a lot of markets and a lot of outdoor, anywhere, anytime, any place, and with no microphones.
And developing the habit of trying to grab an audience member from walking by you.
And the fact that there are no microphones, so we can run around, and I love interacting with people, and I love dancing, and I love the fact that, and you run around, and Sanderson's wearing his sousaphone, and he lugs around, and we'll go put it over the head of some kid or some person, you know, and they go nuts. And that's what we love, is to be able to have the fluidity. So the thing that's funny is when we go the stage tonight, say, where it was, there's a drum set, and real estate was like 2 square feet, and I dance and I kick my legs and we go all over the place, and we were all within probably 6 feet square together
of each other,
all together in the 6 foot square. And so it's I feel like we're getting better at learning how to not let the microphone stands get in our way, and we can still move our bodies and feel like we're, you know, touching it, and they're tendrils that come from us. And when we sing to you, we really are singing to you, and we really mean it, you know, and that, like, we want to go...
Which makes it interesting, because for people listening at home, a showcase is so much different from a regular set. I mean, you get 4 or 5 songs typically.
Yeah.
It has to show the full breadth of what you can achieve. Does. Obviously, in your situation, there's no doubt that you definitely achieved, as far as I'm concerned, everything that you needed to achieve to let people see exactly what this band is about. And again, as you mentioned, the fact that you've played together so much, I love the fact, you know, I didn't realize how much you'd bust before, but it's clear that, you know, with the ebb and the flow between you, with the way that you have seamlessly, it would seem, introduced the third member that you wanted.
Yeah, I just showed up at a gig and started playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I turned around. At the first one, it was just an unofficial. We were playing at the Cafe 1870 in Wakefield, Quebec, one of the best places on the planet. And Sanderson joined us for a few numbers, and he's sitting there in this big sort of armchair with his sousaphone and a cornet. And he would go, boop, 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 boop. And I looked around at one point, and he was only playing cornet, and the sousaphone looked like a life ring, like a life from a ship. And he was just sitting there going, and I don't even know what we're playing, but we have to do Ida more Red. Of it. Was it?
Yeah, it was Ida Red was the first tune.
No
I
way.
Yeah, I remember that.
And you're playing the little horn?
Because I had a problem finding the four chord.
That's hilarious. And so I looked back and thought, wow, this guy's floating in a life raft behind us. And it's somehow he's just kind of like bobbing along. And there's no problem. We have to do this again.
If I could just add one more little thing about the show that we do, it occurs to me that as young kids, and we're all pretty still close to being young kids, really. But as I know for myself as a young kid, I really, really wanted to play music.
Yeah.
And when I finally played music as a kid, or if I learned a couple things or whatever, I was thrilled to be standing there playing music. And I think I can safely say that we bring that thrill to the stage. We're still those kids that are thrilled to be making a noise with an object and having someone watch you do it.
And when you say that, when you say we bring it to the, we don't, it's not that we're saying, and now we're going to bring the thrill to, you know,
no,
it's just like accidentally.
But, that's the thing. It's magical. I got to admit,
it. We love it.
It's magical. I also have to say the way you were lit tonight, I don't know how intentional that was.
It's very intentional.
But that really adds to the whole experience.
Jen, that's the patented Shisham Lotus and Sun footlights that we travel with.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no lime
absolutely
involved
fabulous.
Anymore. But yeah, we used to have a little suitcase that I built. And that's the thing is like when we realized, well, there's a band called Elliot Brood. And we played a show with them. We were opening the show. It was at a club in Toronto. And they were shooting a video, one of their first videos. And it was right in the beginning when they were starting out. And I went outside before they started playing, and it came back in, and they had lights because they were shooting a video. It was brighter than the sun, but they had these footlights all around the bottom because it wasn't, the footlights weren't working as footlights like the way we use them. But I saw that and I thought, wow, those guys, and another couple of photos, like the old photos of these people, and I thought, okay, if we were to get rid of the rest of the lights and have this, it instantly, you can walk into any place, like especially places like this, like a hotel room. And you open this little suitcase full of light. We shouldn't give the secret away.
No, we shouldn't. That's enough.
Okay, so then you can...
How are the Jays doing?
So you can instantly transform a library or a hotel room or somebody's rec room into a theater. And suddenly, people have forgotten where they are. They all go, ooh, okay. And they're not like, hey, bumble, bumble, any, give me another drink. Oh, how are the Jays doing? They suddenly, it takes them whoosh right back in time, and we used to have yellow lights, and we used to solely dress in colored browns, and so when we were lit that way, it was almost
sepia tone.
It turned into a moving sepia tone photo, and it was intentional, but we didn't really realize how it was working until we saw photographs and until your partner Lotus Martha has. Wife Martha, one day one of us was wearing something blue and she came and said, what's the matter with you guys? You don't quite look like yourselves. And I had a blue shirt on or something, and or a blue tie, and she said, it's the blue. And it was so funny because it just like suddenly we had
most everything's kind of reddy browny brown
yeah we had turned
brown,
into
yeah. ox blood.
An absolutely fabulous show.
I hate to interrupt, but I think there's one more terribly important detail when it comes to the live performance.
Oh, okay.
And I can sum it up very quickly, okay? We've all played a lot of dance music. And underneath everything, it's actually mostly dance music. And dance music is a collaboration between the musician and the people out there in front of you.
Yeah.
It's not, okay, now you're going to listen to this really precious piece of music that's really important to me, which is fine.
This is good.
Now
music.
We are all going to get together and collaborate on this music. And I think that's the other element of a live show that makes it really great.
Absolutely.
What does the future hold for Shishim and Lotus?
Well, we have some really exciting festivals that we're not allowed to mention yet that are in the UK, and we have some tours that are being lined up for the Netherlands and Belgium, Sweden, Norway, back to Denmark. We're going to release this new record, 78 RPM. What else is happening?
I think we might play Timmins next summer.
Yeah.
And Australia, they were talking about happening.
Yeah, that's very much we're going to Australia in 2 days before 2017. We'll be there for probably a month playing three festivals, and we're going to Australia, boys.
We haven't really talked much about that.
No.
Including my partner. I haven't mentioned.
Right. Well, it sounds like you need to have people that keep you organized because there's so much going on. An absolutely fabulous performance tonight.
Thank
I certainly
you.
Look forward to seeing what happens in the future. If people want to learn more about Shishim and Lotus, how should they
yes,
do that?
shishimandlotus.com. You can go there, shishimandlotus.com, or you can go to the Facebook, which is Shishim and Lotus and Son, and please be our friend.
We're going to finish with another track from High Stepping Music. What are we going to play?
Swimming Blues. This is a song that was written by us. It was
original.
There are islands and ferry boats involved in our lives, and it sure is a drag to miss one, especially when you miss your loved ones at home, and they might not miss you as much as, or they miss you, and you need to get home, and they, where are you? And so, it was written while waiting for the boat after it had been missed.
Shishim Crow, Lotus White. Son Sanderson, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you today.
Thank you, Jen.
Likewise.
Thanks, Jen.
This is Swimming Blues from Shishim, Lotus and Son, and you're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
Great legs, just take me back, baby, for goodness sake. My boat done gone.